The presenting sponsor of the City of Smack podcast is On. Experience the magic of the Penn Relays with On. Races, athletes, new kits, new faces. Try the latest On running shoe innovations. Customize your gear and more. For the full event schedule, keep tabs on the Penn Relays website. And if you can't be there in person, follow on Instagram for all of the action. The City of Smack team will be in Philadelphia at Franklin Field for that weekend slate of races. We're so excited. Thanks to On for supporting City of Smack. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the City of Smack podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I get the chance to chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. Before we hit our interview, you know we love giving listeners a shout-out when they leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want yours to be read, leave us a five-star review and let us know why you love this show. This week's review comes to us from at Kevin_Mar10, who wrote, "It's the running podcast content we didn't know we deserved. From race preview to meet recaps, it's the conversations and stories that for so long went untold. Love the coverage and energy that the City of Smack crew brings to the sport." That's the whole mission here at City of Smack, is to make you care about the athletes and also tell some of those often overlooked or forgotten stories. So thanks for your review, Kevin. My guest for today's episode is Mary Ngugi Cooper, a formidable force in the Kenyan marathoning scene and a regular at the Boston Marathon. Mary's journey is not just about her remarkable achievements on the roads. It's about her unwavering commitment to empowering women through the sport that she loves. In the wake of a tragic loss that shook the running community to its core, Mary took action. In response to the heartbreaking murder of Agnes Tirop a couple years ago, Mary founded Nala Track Club in October 2022, which is named for the Swahili word for a powerful, successful woman. Nala Track Club is a sanctuary for female athletes, but it's more than just a running club. It's a beacon of hope in Kenya. Mary's vision extends beyond the finish line, providing not only a safe haven for young women to train, but also covering housing and education costs for those in need. Additionally, Nala Track Club has pioneered a groundbreaking coaches training program empowering women to lead and mentor the next generation of Kenyan athletes. Nike has come on board with the team to assist with funding the girls' basic needs and in-residence scholarships to remove the financial barrier to entry. Mary's story is one of resilience, determination, and the transformative power of sport. It was super nice to chat with her. Just days before, she went on to finish sixth place in the Boston Marathon this year in 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 24 seconds. So without further ado, here is Mary Ngugi Cooper. All right, Mary, we are just days away from the Boston Marathon. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm a bit nervous, obviously. But I'm great. I'm happy to have finished my training, like healthy and feeling well. So I'm happy and excited about it.
How did the buildup for this Boston compare to past years? And at this point, like, you're a veteran of the Boston Marathon. Like, you just know how it goes now.
Yeah, I do. This is my fifth one. So I've raced it. I feel like I've raced it all my life. Yeah, I think it's the same. The buildup has been the same. I don't normally do like loads of different things. I just try to be consistent and get better at it. And I believe the more I do something, I become perfect at it. So I feel like it has been almost the same.
What has drawn you to the Boston Marathon over the last couple of years? Because you could go out and, you know, run at a flat, fast race, but you choose to go and, like, you know, finishing as high as you have in recent years. It's just about competition, and you seem to thrive in that setting.
Yeah, to be honest, the first year I did Boston was like I had done the shorter distance than in Boston. I've done the 10K and all of them, and I'd done really well. So Boston quite felt like home, to be honest. So when that was the point why I did that first year, and coming back all those, like, the second time, the third, the fourth, and now the fifth is, to me, I think Boston is just, it's more than a race for me, because they believed in me. There was a time when I think post-COVID, it's like everyone had given up on me. That Boston gave me a chance where even other races would not give me a beep. So, and I've just been dropped by my sponsors. I've just moved to a new coach. And so I was like, And even when I was racing out there, people remembered me not from, oh, she's won Boston marathons. They remembered me from the shorter distance. And I also got married in Boston, so it's more than a race for me.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so sweet to hear. So then I guess for you in recent years, you know, what started, you know, your identity as a professional runner is one element to it. And your success in performance, you know, speaks for itself. Then there's this whole other side where you work, you know, starting Nala Track Club and really becoming like this advocate for women's safety in Kenya and that whole side of things. What was sort of the catalyst that started that? And did it all sort of happen around the same time?
Well, I wouldn't say it started the same time. It's like I've always wanted to do something to help young athletes in Kenya and use my platform as an athlete. But like you said, what restarted is like the last years of my career, I've been traveling, as you know, and racing abroad. I've lived abroad. I've made friends abroad. I've lived in the UK. I've trained with Laura Whitman. I'm married to a British man. So I've seen things different from what I've always seen. I've seen women being treated different. I've seen women who are confident. I've shared the stage with the likes of Emery Sisson. I've shared the stage with Sarah Hall and Emma Bates, and I've just looked at them, the likes of Des Reed, and I've looked how confident they are, how they're treated and how they speak. And I was like, I want to be like them. So I was always looking to these women and wanting to be like them. And then seeing them have a voice, like they can make decisions for themselves. I've seen how they're treated. There is equality there. There's as important as the male athletes. And I was like, I wish this happens to Kenya. I wish I can take this back to Kenya and do the same for the young girls in Kenya. And so when I come back to Kenya or I meet Kenyan athletes and I still hear stories of what is happening in Kenya and the rumors of girls being abused in camp, girls being raped, women who are married, but they don't have control over their lives, the husband who makes decisions for them, which race you're going to run, which contract you're going to sign. Like, it's frustrated me and I've wanted to do something different. And so when I, and also, we all know what happened to Agnes Tirop. And when she died, that was it for me. I was like, yes, I've always wanted to do something. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but this is it now. If we don't do something now, we'll never do it. And we can't wait for someone else to die. And that kind of like led us to where we are now.
It starts off as an idea. Now, you know, your sponsor, Nike, is backing it and, you know, throwing some financial resources behind it. You know, how has it really taken off, and has it happened a little bit faster than you expected?
Yeah, I would say yes. It started as an idea, but to be honest, how it started is like after the death of Agnes, we got together a few women, not just in Kenya but also abroad, and we wanted to try and help to see how we can change how girls are treated in Kenya. And I started by visiting a few camps in Kenya, tried to mentor and talk to the girls. But the things I saw and the things I heard were like, I can talk or I want to these girls, but nothing is going to change. So I was like, I'll do something and I'll show them how they should be treated. And so I went ahead and we started NARA to try to show these girls, to treat our girls in a different way so other girls can see it and be like, I want to be treated like those girls in NARA and demand equality for themselves. And so when we started, it was a bit hard at first because we didn't have the sponsorship we had. I had to use my own money to pay school fees for the girls as well as pay the housing. And I would give them my own shoes and my own clothes. I was at a point where I had like, oh, I can't give anymore. This is just for me. And so when we got this, yes, it was like, yes, it's a dream. It's an idea. And I was hoping this would get better. But looking at it now, I think, yeah, things have gone faster than I thought they would be. So yeah, we are looking at it now and they have like loads of girls. We have our own camp now. We have the sponsorship of Nike. My girls can, I don't have to give my shoes anymore to them.
What has it also been like, I guess, because recently, was it at the African Games Championship? You had an athlete, I guess, who's come through, you know, your club who ended up, you know, on the podium. So like results are speaking for themselves. When you have kind of this mentorship element and also just like the athletic development, how do you kind of balance the two when it comes to what the mission is of the track club?
I don't think it's hard to balance the two, because first of all, when a girl wants to join an athletics camp, it's because she is interested in the athletics and she loves and she wants to pursue it. So that side of running is she has it in her. So the part I have to pray the most that they are not used to is trying to mentor them and empower them. Some of them had dropped out of school because the parent could not pay for the school. So I had to convince them, you have to go back to school. And they're like, well, it's 2 years, I've not been in school. But I was, yes, if you want to be in NARA, we're not just another camp. We have to empower, you have to go to school. So that is the part now we take them to school. And because they are young, it's easier to like build or like develop a culture when they're that age. You tell them you have to go to school and still compete, and you're trying to mentor them. So they go hard in hard. It's not so hard.
When you were growing up, who were some of the strong female figures in Kenyan running that you looked up to? I've had the pleasure of chatting with Alfie Ntuliamuk, and she told me about just like the many women that she used to look up to, and later on in life getting the opportunity to meet them. So who were those people for you, and do you look to some of their careers and just like how they carry themselves for inspiration and what you want to instill in these young women?
Well, that's I used to look up to Catherine Ndereba because, first of all, she's from my tribe. She's from my province, and in my province, it's not so common like having athletes from where I come. And seeing her, I used to look up to her, and I've met her now. The thing is, she lived very far from me, so I growing up, it's not like I grew up in Iten where there's athletes all the time. I've never seen anyone training, so I actually did not look up to any athletes at that point. I just saw them on TV. I just saw Catherine Ndereba on TV. I didn't really know anything about athletics until I started running myself.
Wow. Can you describe, I guess, and paint the picture for me, like what, the camp and like the setup is like for the young women in terms of just like, where are they going to school? Because when, what I don't know how to pronounce it, the Nyaro city.
Yeah. Nyahururu town. It's not a city. It's far from a city. It's just a small town.
That's what I noticed. It was like, it's not near Iten. It's not near Kapti. Yeah. Got these popular running hotspots. What is, kind of day-to-day life like for these young women?
It's I would say Nyahururu. I'll start with Nyahururu. Nyahururu's town is small. I'd say it's a bit bigger than Iten, maybe. There's more to it than just running. There's normal life going ahead. So people would there, you might pass there, nobody knows I'm an athlete, and some don't even know who I am because it's not just about running. But yeah, the girls, the camp is more like a home for them. It's like they go to a day school and then they come like how kids go to school and then come back home in the evening. That is how camp is. They wake up in the morning, they go out for morning run, like super early, come back, have breakfast, prepare, get ready for school, go to school, attend the classes. And then at 4, they walk back to camp or to the track, and then they do their evening session, back to camp, eat dinner, and then to go to classroom for their studies or homework, and then go to sleep and repeat. That's life. So the camp is like 2 kilometers from school, so it's a walking distance.
How much help do you have there too? Because like, it's in addition to just like mentoring future star athletes, like the element of also growing more female coaches within Kenya is important.
I think it's very important to develop female coaches in Kenya. And it's not just, even I, when I was growing up, I've never seen a female. And I think it's safe when you have girls to have a female around them. It's not just about safety. There's things even I cannot speak to a male coach. I know it's different in the your UK or US, girls can talk to men, whatever, but here, because of the culture and everything, there's things that women cannot go to the men and talk to them, especially an older man who is almost my dad. And to be honest, coaches are usually like a dad figure to us. The things I can tell them, and maybe even girls during like their menstrual period, they're having cramps, they're having things happening to them, they can't do a session, they can just go tell the coach, this is what happened to me. And so they usually, most of the time, would end up having problems with coaches because they think, oh, you're trying to avoid this session. They don't understand. There's issues of young girls having to deal with boys. The men, the the coaches are not going to go advise them. They need a female figure who they can go to. And so us trying to develop female coaches, it's not just for safeguarding, but also for making women feel free to express themselves. And also even for safety, because we believe where there's numbers, there's power. And so even with a female coach, anyone who's trying to intimidate a girl and they see, oh, the coach is there, you have to think twice as a boy or as a man. And it's not just female coaches we're trying to develop. We also have a physio at camp who is a woman, which I think, to be honest, we need more of that, especially when you're dealing with such young girls. And I've had cases of issues where girls have been abused by physios, and I'm trying to avoid that, as well as female photographers, because, you know, like at this age, with social media, with IG, we're trying to tell the story of Nara, and we need someone to document that. And I don't think it creates a really good picture when I have like my husband who is a photographer flying from UK taking the photo. Am I telling the girls who I'm trying to empower? So it's more from just safeguarding, but also like inspiring the girls that they can be, there's more exciting careers out there. Maybe they don't make it in athletics. They don't have to go back to the village and continue with life as normal. They can pursue different careers. Even also girls out there, maybe they're seeing our photographer and they're like, oh, when I grow up, I want to be a photographer, like the Nara photographer. So it's inspiring them. And you cannot be what you can't see. So when they see it, they can be, oh, I want to be like that. So yeah, it's not just the safeguarding, it's trying to empower the whole community and inspire more girls in Kenya.
The presenting sponsor of the City of Smack podcast is Olipop. This has been an exciting year for Olipop. In addition to renewing their partnership with us for 2024, they are now being sold at Aldi and Wawa. They've been popping up with events, advertising, and branding in Austin, Miami, and DC. They just signed on to sponsor John Hunter Nemechek and car number 42 in the NASCAR Cup Series. Big things are happening. What has become known as the runner soda isn't just a great companion for pregame shows or post-race shows. It's good for you, too. It's a prebiotic soda with 9 grams of fiber, which is 32% of your daily needs, and only has 2 to 5 grams of sugar and helps your digestive health in a way that a threshold workout could never. We love it because there are 15 incredible flavors that will keep your body refreshed and ready to go for that next workout. My current favorite is lemon lime, although tropical punch is a close number 2. Caitlin Tui's number 1 flavor is ginger lemon. There's other greats like vintage cola, orange squeeze, cherry vanilla. City of Smack podcast listeners, you get 25% off non-subscription orders by using code CITIUS25 at checkout when you visit drinkolipop.com. You can also find Olipop at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Target, Walmart, Publix, and other retailers. But we encourage you to shop online at drinkolipop.com, support City of Smack, and use code CITIUS25 at checkout. The next time you're looking for a refreshing and healthy drink after that long run or hard workout, reach for an Olipop. You won't be disappointed. DrinkOlipop.com, code CITIUS25. Velus is the active recovery footwear brand that is designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. They are launching 2 new styles to their recovery mix for spring 2024, the Active Slide and the Active Flip Collection. These active recovery sandals are super lightweight and equipped with Velus's 3-part tri-motion technology. They cradle your heel with impact-absorbing foam that cushions your feet with every step. It's got amazing arch support and 4-foot flex that allows your fatigued feet and toes to stretch and relax. Velus is focused on helping athletes recover faster before and after you train so you can get after your next run performing at your best. Run, recover, repeat with Velus. Enjoy a 20% discount by entering code CITIUSMAG20 at checkout at velusfootwear.com. How does, you know, I understand how you're doing it with your group. How do you make it powerful or big enough? Or what is the hope, I guess, so that it transcends just sort of, you know, the town that you're in and the group with those athletes? It was so powerful, I guess, after Agnes Tirop's, you know, death, just seeing like all the top, you know, Kenyan marathoner women, it didn't matter which brand, you know, was the sponsor. Everyone came together and they were loud about just like, you know, the changes that they wanted to see made. you're taking action, you're trying to instill those changes, you know, at a small level. How does that then, you know, try and make, you know, systemic change among Kenya? Because it's, you know, you're doing it where you're at. How does it need to happen? And, you know, is it just providing a model so that, hey, if someone does this in Iten or someone does this in Kaptagat, that like they can learn, you know, this is how we did it. We need more of this. Like, what is the vision for how it can go beyond just where you are?
Yeah, that like I said, it's trying to inspire more women. Like, I want to inspire more women, even in Kenya, more athletes, that they can do this, they can change, they can go and start their own camps and help other girls, even the girls who are in different camps around Kenya. Like, I hope Nara can set the bar and they can look at it and be like, I want to be treated like those girls from Nara. Like, they can demand equality for them. Like, my girls going out, like, the national championship, the way they're carrying themselves, and other girls seeing them and being like, wow, look at those girls. Like, I have a parent who has been calling me saying that her daughter left her camp. She said, I want to go to Nara. I'm like, yeah, but we don't just take anyone. We don't just do that. It's not like, oh, I want to go there. And, okay, I'll just go in. There's a process. So I think, yeah, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of people coming together. But I am using my platform as an athlete to try and change and try it and inspire other girls, and not just the girls, even the women around us who see us, not who are not just athletes. They can demand more equality from them. And even our girls, when they go out there, they talk. That's in school, the way they carry themselves. The girls who are not even athletes, but they are around them in school, they can see the difference in them, and they can be like, I want to be like them. So we try to inspire that. And the women around us, maybe someone, a few athletes can start that. Maybe someone else who is not an athlete can see it, and whatever she is in her platform, use it to try and bring change. So it's step by step. I know it's not going to change today, but hopefully, yeah, it will one day.
Who else do you think needs to listen? I mean, if you win the Boston Marathon, that's a moment where like all the microphones are in your face and you can spread the message about Nala Track Club. But in the meantime, you know, before moments like that happen, and, you know, it's hard to make those, create those moments, you know, what is the message you hope gets out, and like, who needs to really listen to it aside from just, you know, in, especially in Kenya, like, is there, you know, the Athletics Kenya throwing more support, or like, who do you want, you know, more of this message to get across to?
Yeah, I think I'd like it to get more, yes, like Athletics Kenya to give us more support, but also to the men in Kenya. Like, I would like them to come out and support us. I would like them to see some girl being treated and say, that is not right. She should be treated like that. They should, like, when someone is wrong, just go and tell them. They should come out and support us, because then they will be more powerful than me speaking here, because I'm going to be, oh, she's just a woman talking like other women, like trying to talk about equality. But once a man comes and says, I think what she's doing is right, and if someone is doing something wrong, they tell them straight, that is not correct. Then the other men will be like, oh, okay, wow. Even like they start in their families, try to treat their wives right, treat their children, their daughters right, that they have the right, the same right as the boys going to school, they have the same rights. So I think it's more the men in Kenya that need to get this message.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I went last summer to Kenya, and just talking to people, not doing interviews, but just getting an understanding of just like the culture, you know, I was speaking to certain people and they were like, oh yeah, but did you know that this athlete's husband is very abusive or controls all of the finances or, you know, does this stuff? And I'm like, no way. Because like, you know, you see that athlete on the podium in, you know, this race or whatever, and they're smiling and everything seems to be perfect. But behind the scenes, that's not always the case.
It's crazy. That's what I told you. When I go out there and I look at these athletes, like all those athletes from America, the way they are, the way they are with their husbands, they're supportive of them. Not because they want them to win, whether they win or they don't win. If I go there, for example, if I go there and I finished 15th in Boston, Chris will not be worried about, oh, she didn't win this money. He'll be more like, is she okay? What is she thinking? He will be there for me more than when I win. But in Kenya, you know, some of them see them as money making machine. If you don't win money, they don't care about you, and they might even force, like, overtrain you, and you end up getting injured. So you have been here, you know, it's frustrating, like I said. And it's women who are like on the top of the world who are, so you can imagine them going through this. Can you imagine a girl in the village, what is happening to them? Yeah, so
It's scary.
it is scary, yeah.
So for you, I guess, like, what are the moments that lead to just pride and joy? Like, what are some of the moments where you've seen, some of the girls from the camp? Like, yes, it's nice to see, great performances and, at track meets and stuff, but are there other places where you're like, oh, this is working, this is successful? What makes you happy for with Nala?
Yeah, like you said, yeah, I'm happy to see them at the track, but well, sometimes when I see them, I know they are really talented. I can tell that, but it's more like when a girl comes to camp and she is shy, you're talking to her, she's just like, and then after 2 weeks, she's talking and she's dancing, she's telling me this. I'm just looking and I'm like, oh my God, is this a different person? That is like, oh yeah, this is working. The girls are coming to camp, they're shy. But then after even a week, they're so confident, and the way they carry themselves, the way they're walking, they can, it's amazing just looking at them so confident. Yeah.
Well, Mary, I appreciate you taking the time for this and sharing a bit more of the story. And I hope it gets out to as many people as possible. And it's really great to see how you're helping these young women find their voices and mentor, other women to take up space and be loud enough and be the change that you want to see. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this episode. I love doing this for you guys, so please do me a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That helps us grow the show and get even more awesome guests. Let me know what you're enjoying about the show. Make sure you're subscribed or following on your favorite podcast players. Please share this episode with your friends if you think that they'll get any value or inspiration out of it. Let's build this thing together. Visit CityusMag.com for a lot more. We've got a brand new website with tons more articles, videos, and podcasts. As always, I love track and field. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.